Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Dose of Reality Radio with Justin Cook and Brian Stavely. Justin, how you doing out there tonight, bud?
Not too bad. How you doing, Brian?
All right, yeah, everybody. This week we were just going to kind of go over a lot of different health issues that, you know, most of you in the group and whatever are probably aware of, but we've had some new listeners lately, and we're going to go through a few things like, you know, GMOs, aspartame, high fructose corn syrup, even get a little bit into vaccines. We're probably going to start maybe with the aspartame. Justin, where do you want to start?
I mean, I don't know. You can start on any aspect of it, really. You know, I don't know. What do you want to start with the aspartame? It's something, you know, I guess we can go through the history of it, you know, and
let's start with the history of it.
All right. Well, aspartame, I don't know the exact dates in front of me, but I'm just going to go by, research I've done in the past. And pretty much it was something that it's an artificial sweetener was trying to be used at some point for different reasons or whatever. And they found out that it was actually sweet. You know, I believe it was used in like rat poisons and stuff like that. And they found out it was very sweet. So they started in like the 50s and 60s, you know, testing it. And at that point, they all said, you know, it wasn't really acceptable to be consumed by humans. Make a long story short, I think they passed it for a while, and I believe they banned it for a while. And then back in 85, I believe, a fellow by the name of Donald Rumsfeld, who we all know, was working for a big pharma company, Searle. And he pretty much lobbied the FDA to pass it through. And that's one of the, you know, the things out there. It's terrible for you. It's in every diet drink. I have friends that drink it in, you know, diet energy drinks, and it's in foods. It's in so much stuff, and people think that they're getting, you know, that they're saving out because they're not getting the sugar or the high fructose corn syrup that's in other stuff. But in this case, it's actually the worst thing for you. You know, it's the worst sweetener by far. Even high fructose corn syrup is terrible, but that's going to give you diabetes, you know, probably cancer too. But
this
aspartame
has a lot
is going
of effects, man. Aspartame is like a million things, from memory loss to vision loss and muscle spasms and seizures and death, migraines, weight gain, difficulty breathing.
And that's the thing, it's on diet labels and everything else, and like you said, weight gain, you know, and people don't realize that. And what it actually does, it makes you fiend for more food. It makes you fiend for another dose of it. It's another drug. And even my mother used to say it. She never liked it, and I never liked it either. And, you know, obviously, I've always been, you know, on the fat side, so... You know, you would think that, but there was something about it. It just tasted too fake to me, you know. And then once I started,
totally.
And I remember my mother. I think she drank it a few times, you know, here and there. Someone gave her a Crystal Light or whatever, and she noticed that, you know, she had restless legs. You know, like her leg would twitching and shit from it. I know other people that get terrible migraine headaches from it and whatnot, and. You know, it's really addictive. A buddy of mine was addicted to the light oatmeal a few months ago, and I schooled him on it, and he stopped. He said, you know, I feel much better, and it's insane. Just, you know, and that's like so many other things that we don't know. You know, that it's bad for us, but you know, because it's they're not telling you about it. They're not telling you. You know, even the studies that the FDA does, and they're even the as crooked as they are. You know, the fact that, you know, hey, just the fact that it passes, you know, any studies, and just the fact that there are, you know, signs of lab rats, you know, getting, you know, showing these things and everything. It's totally neurological, you know.
Yeah, the FDA doesn't give a shit. I mean, we all know the story behind the FDA. I mean, the FDA is basically run by somebody that used to be, what, he was like the head lawyer for Monsanto, wasn't he?
Who was the new head of the FDA? Yeah, he was one of the, I believe a lawyer or a lobbyist.
Yeah. So that yeah, like they're gonna tell them, you know, that they can't do anything. Now, who makes the aspartame? Does Searle make it still, or?
I believe a few companies make it now, and it's also marketed under the name Amino Sweet, and that's a new thing they're trying to do. So, you know, for the label readers out there, you know, that might be hip to some of this stuff. It also, you know, goes by Amino Sweet. Now, you know, the whole thing is pretty much all of these artificial sweeteners are bad news. You know, you go down to saccharin, you know, there's so many of them, and it's really, they're you know, they're all sucralose. There's a couple other ones too, and you know, they're not good for you at all. And there's a reason that all this stuff is out there. And it's the slow kill agenda, you know. And here I want to, you know, make a point right now, pretty much, you know, and the, you know, the main point that I wanted to make is, you know, I think that a lot of the stuff that we've been told in the alternative media, you know, about like the FEMA camps and whatnot, like, you know, don't get me wrong, I do believe there is camps there, and I do believe that, you know, that you know, they may send some dissenters there, but they're not going to round up everybody and send them there. You know, they're not going to kill it. The whole point of this New World Order, you know, what they're launching now, what everyone, One World Government, is it's got to be accepted. It has to be, you know, programmed to the masses to where they want this, you know, and there's only going to be, you know, 10 to 15%, 20% that go against it. You know, and they're not, a lot of people that go for it aren't even going to realize that they're supporting it, you know, and, but the main thing is, you know, so they don't want to, they're not going to, you know, go around and you know, and kill a million people like the, you know, like the Nazis supposedly did or Stalin did. You know, the point of this is they finally have the technology and the programming to control us, you know, or control most of the population without violence, you know, without, you know, face-to-face violence, and I think that's what, you know, has made them, you know, that's why they're so close to their final push for it, because, you know, they finally have the technology there to, you know, fake events on TV and to do this and that, you know, and just totally, you know, totally just feed you propaganda, and the computer, although it's helped in so many ways, a double-edged sword. It's also put out a lot of disinfo as well. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
If it wasn't for the computer, none of us would be here. You know, none of us would be anywhere near half, you know, where we're at. But I just wanted to say that, though, about the slow cut. I think that's, you know, the main thing is population control, and they're not planning us for us to die, you know, in the next couple of years, I don't believe. You know, they may send a few diseases out there or whatever, but I think, you know, the main thing is they just don't want us to live past 40, 50 years old. We're all gonna, you know, have cancer or, you know, something else. So
yeah, that's
pretty
what
much
we're no good to yeah. anymore. We're too old to be working anymore or whatever, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Get rid of us then, right?
Exactly.
And there's so many people that have no idea. If you try and tell them, hey, that so-called sugar-free gum is really bad for you, or that you know, that whatever drink they're having with the aspartame in it, like the diet soda, they like want to laugh at you. It's like, it's actually worse than drinking a regular Coke.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, that's the one thing I have actually had some success with for them. I think a lot of my friends, I've got them, you know, to stop drinking the diet soda. I think everything, although not all of them, I have one friend and he's like, you know, he was a drug addict, you know, and so now he's clean, you know, he's doing very good. Don't get me wrong. However, he's probably putting himself in more danger than most drug addicts are because all he does is drinks like three or four of these monster diets, sugar-free's a day, you know, and he thinks he's doing himself a favor by it. And not only that, but these energy drinks are terrible. Never mind mixing it with a drug, like, you know, like aspartame. You know, that's what this stuff is. It's a you know, a neurotoxin in you know, reality.
Yeah, it's awful for you. It should have never been approved.
No, totally not. You know, and again, this was, you know, during the Reagan administration when obviously pretty much a mini coup occurred. You know, Reagan thought that, you know, that he was just going to take Bush on because he had to. You know, not that Reagan wasn't, you know, crooked, but Reagan, I think, you know, had this dream that he was actually going to be, you know, they were going to allow him to be president. And that's why they had to shoot him real quick or whatever. And then, you know, pretty much since then we've had the Bush takeover, you know, more so at least of American politics or whatever you want to call it, you know, the American paradigm, you know, more so than even like the Rockefeller influence, I think today is just, you know, and that's what they did. They got all their people in there and, you know, they run what is now called the, you know, neoconservative wing, but they also run the Obamas and the Clintons and the rest of them. So, you know, it's all one big happy family.
Yep. It can even cause things like brain tumors, epilepsy, Parkinson's disease, birth defects.
Oh, yeah.
Alzheimer's. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right, they're neurological things. So Parkinson's and Alzheimer's are the main things I think we're seeing right now from this. Like the main, you know, as far as like, you know, with the elderly now. I know especially my grandparents were diabetics, you know, so they drink diet soda, you know. And my grandmother right now is, you know, she's suffering from dementia, which is early stages of Alzheimer's, you know. And I believe that's a big, you know, a big reason why a lot of them are getting it. You know, not like they're the first generation to get it, but, you know, a lot of the ones before were working in, you know, unregulated factories, breathing in, you know, God knows what. But, you know, it's just another thing to thin the herd.
Yeah, definitely. I guess some of our listeners are having problems listening to Sausage. All I can say is at my house, each computer I have, it seems to work fine on one browser. Whether it's Firefox, Chrome, or even Internet Explorer on my netbook, each one's different. My Chrome freezes on my good computer, but
you know,
Firefox works good.
Have David call on Skype like he normally does.
Oh yeah, David, you want me to just add you to the Skype call? I'll just add you to the Skype call. You can just keep the mic muted and listen in.
Yeah, David will probably even have something to add at some point.
I didn't even realize that was him. Yeah, and then if you want to jump in, you can just jump in. Let me just bring up my contact list. I'm going to be a second, Justin, if you want to continue. I'll add him to the call.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as the Aspartame goes, you know, I think the main thing here, the main target with it is, you know, these is, you know, teenage girls and... And nowadays, even, you know, is how vain are 20-year-old guys. And, you know, it's, you know, these Jersey Shore stuff and things like that, you know, they make people think that they have to have these, you know, steroid gym bodies. And you know, that's another thing of, you know, that, you know, we're not even thinking of all the other stuff. I mean, you know, obviously drugs, but, you know, steroids and stuff, you know, a lot of this stuff, people don't realize, you know, I'm sure a lot of you do, but that all this stuff comes from think tanks and, you know, social programming things, you know, and these people are geniuses at that. They've got places set up just to figure out what the next, you know, few years trends are going to be and how they're going to implement it. You know, and you have the places like Tavistock in the UK and Rand Corporation in the U.S., you have the, you know, the Ford Foundation, you know, the Rockefeller, Foundation, you know, there's a few, the Carnegie Endowment, a lot of these, you know, that's pretty much what they deal with. They, you know, they get rich people and, give them money, you know, to work on this. But obviously, you know, Tavistock is the most well-known one. But I believe the Rand Corporation, like I said, would be the biggest here, but regardless, you know, that's what they're doing. They're getting people ready to, you know, to accept this stuff, and that's, they're dumbing you down, you know, which I think, you know, I'll jump on to the next thing, I think, which is the, you know, fluoride in the water. Would you think that'd be the next place we'd go with this? Yeah, I mean, you know, and here's the thing about fluoride. I mean, you know, this was used, you know, a lot of people say it was used with Hitler. I haven't really seen that cited particularly. However, I have seen it that it was used with East Germany. That's where I believe I've seen it was used going back in the, you know, late 40s, early 50s to stifle dissenters and whatnot. And I believe Stalin used it as well, you know, during the, you know, after the purges to, you know. And the thing about fluoride is, you know, it's in so many towns and municipalities and everything. And in the United States. 98% of Europe is not fluoridated. Now, here's the first thing I want you to think of. You know, do you really think – now, the reason for fluoride is supposedly it helps our teeth. Do you really think that the government would you know, take so much time out to mix in sodium fluoride into our water supply to make sure that, you know, we don't get cavities? And if they are, why? And, you know, and even if they were doing it for good, you know, isn't this kind of a case of mass drugging, you know, in a situation where not everybody would have the same dose, you know, and certain people are going to be more susceptible to higher doses. And, you know, and that's one of the first major flaws with, you know, the water fluoridation things, you know, and you see a baby is getting the same amount as a 300-pound person, or, you know, and I think about my animals with this, and I really try to give my cat bottled water for that reason, because, you know, I think of a, you know, 7-pound cat, you know, drinking this stuff, it's terrible, you know, but, you know, getting back to fluoride, you know, there is natural occurring fluoride, but
this calcium fluoride, which isn't bad thing, right. But this is sodium fluoride.
Right, right. Now this is actually a byproduct of aluminum, and yeah. Most of it that we get is made in China, where a lot of the we have that's going on in the world now is, and you know, there's no regulations.
It would cost them extra money to dump it if they were to dispose of it properly.
Right.
Our water supply, it actually eats away at the cement when they dump it in.
Right. You know what I mean? Exactly. You know, and Brian, that's the whole thing about it. You know, when you see, if you've ever seen a bucket of sodium fluoride, you know, there's no myth that it says on it, it has a skull and crossbones and says poison on it.
Oh, yeah, they wear biohazard suits when they handle it. That's what they use in rat poison.
Exactly. Don't touch, don't breathe, don't eat or drink. That's what it says on it. And they say, you know, you're only getting a small amount, you know. But still, that's, you know, what if we don't want that small amount? You know, I think that's something that should be optional. Nowadays, we can buy everything else in the store. You know, I think we can go, which amazingly, tell me that's not like the craziest thing you ever see is when you're in the supermarket and you see someone going over there and buying fluoridated water for their kids. And I just want, you know, it's an instant face palm. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's terrible. Good evening.
Hey, what's up, David? How are you?
Hello, I'm hanging on in here with the fluoride guzzling here, and I'm really surprised if it really is true, Justin, that 98% of Europe's drinking water is fluoride free, then I'd love to know where you got that information, because I've got it the other way round. In fact, every single town I've lived in Europe, and I've lived in 3 countries in Europe. I've lived in London, where most of the water was fluoridated, and still is. And in Oslo, the water has been, here in Norway, the water has been fluoridated for decades in Maridalsvannet, which is the lake which is the main source of the drinking water in Oslo, was fluoridated, and now they say, actually, that they've gone over to some sort of not infrared, it was ultraviolet, was it? They were using some sort of an ultraviolet system. But anyway, I don't know an awful lot more about that and if it's true or not. But in fact, they've got kids munching fluoride tablets these days here in Norway too.
Fluoride tablets?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. They've got them munching away on this stuff. So, and like you were saying, it was used in rat poison before. And it's I think it's a toxicity level 6, as far as I can remember offhand. I haven't done any research today. I mean, this is just off the top of my head from a few months ago, really, when several years of research, really, looking into stuff like this. And when I see kids munching fluoride tablets, I'm just scratching my head. And yes, your dentist recommends fluoride and all of this stuff, and of course they do, because it will make a mess of your teeth and it will cause osteoporosis as well, however you blooming pronounce it. And and basically eat away at your skeleton and teeth and all the rest of it. And so I'm sure it makes a lot of business for them, filling in those holes.
Oh, yeah. It's a revolving door. Me at the dentist, it was for the longest time. I had so many cavities in my mouth. I could only imagine.
Yeah.
Whatever else it did to my body in the long run, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it has this, it's renowned for having this dumbing down effect as well, keeping people docile and so on and so forth. And, interesting that you'll find a related chemical. I think it's fluoxetine hydrochloride in Prozac, which is made mostly out of this fluoxetine hydrochloride. There's another one. And basically, we're being poisoned. They tell you it's good for you, and they're poisoning us. So, same old story.
Right. The same thing, you know, like you said, hydrochloride. There's also, you know, sodium fluoride is in most antidepressants and SSRIs. You know, there's just a cocktail of this stuff in all these, you know, big pharma medications, and it's you know, it's obvious, you know, what they're doing. And I believe I was just reading the other day, and the believe it or not, we're actually not the most medicated. You know, the U.S. is not the most medicated country per people. It's actually France, but we're not far behind. I believe everyone in France, I think it's over 50% or over maybe 60% of people are on some type of big pharma medication. Whereas in the U.S., I think it's just below 50%, but it's not too far behind.
Yeah. Well, the Ritalin thing is going on all over the place, isn't it? And I remember going back a couple of years now, I was reading that in some of the states, I can't remember which, I can't remember specifically which state it was, but I think it was 53% of the school kids were on Ritalin in this particular state. It's not, we're not far behind in Norway here either. I mean, without mentioning any names, a fellow down the road here has recently had his kid diagnosed with the phony diagnosis ADHD and put them on Ritalin, and he was a lively lad, and now he's just being doped down because they believe their doctor, don't they? What a shame. And I try to sort of hint at things, and you can tell pretty quickly if people want to listen or not. And of course they believe the experts. They believe they've put their trust in what they believe are experts anyway. And people who don't question the world around them fall into the traps, don't they?
you know, I know what you're saying, though. When you're trying to tell someone this, and you're trying to tell them, you know, that a lot of this stuff is bad for them, you can tell right away, you know, what type of reaction you're going to get, and most of it just shows the cognitive dissonance level. You know, and so many people went right away, you know, you say, hey, have you ever, you know, looked into fluoride, or, you know, do you think it's good for you? Or, and a lot of people say, well, maybe that's so, but it's good for your teeth. And, you know, and in fact, that's not even the case. You know, fluoride is something where it's, you know, actually bad for the teeth. It causes dental fluorosis, which is the, you know, it takes the enamel off. You know, it's a total fallacy. I don't know if anyone has seen it out there. It's a documentary called The Fluoride Deception, and it talks about a doctor. You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
And it talks about a doctor back in the 40s and whatnot who had you know, done a lot of testing with it and was totally against it, and somehow or another they threatened him or paid him off or whatever. And then he came out in favor of it, and he was like the one that tipped the scales, and got them to mass market it to people, you know, saying it would help their teeth and everything else, and, you know, wrote some fake papers up, you know. It just goes to show how far they'll go to get this stuff in our, you know, in us.
Yeah, it's in fact. a sort of a thought came across, several thoughts came across my mind, and I made a little video for what it's worth. I think it's on YouTube somewhere still, called Aluminium Attack. And because I realized that a lot of these espresso coffee makers that you can buy here in Europe are made out of aluminium, and you pay a bit extra and you get one in steel, you know. I mean, that's the one I've got. And so I'm thinking, right, you know, anyone who's making coffee in that, and I used to use one of those actually myself, and you can see, if you look at the surface of the coffee after it's come out and onto the second floor, it's like a double floor thing. You put the water in the bottom, and there's coffee in the middle, and then it cooks up, and the water turns to steam, expands, and has to go out through the exit, through the coffee, and ends up on the top floor there. And then when the coffee bubbles and comes out, you can see kind of rainbow colors on the top. That's a thin layer of aluminium floating on the top of the coffee. And when I do the same process in a steel can, you don't get those little rainbow colors. So I've tested that myself, and so I know that to be a fact. Not having to rely on any bogus studies there. So and then we're having this stuff, this aluminium, sprayed on us from the skies. We're getting it in fluoride. We're getting it in medications. So I'm thinking, crikey, this is an aluminium attack. It's coming at us from every conceivable angle.
Right. It's everywhere. It's you know, and that's the thing. What we're talking about here is you know, it's so vast that we're talking about everything that we drink, eat, breathe in the air. You know, the air, the water.
The deodorant too. Don't forget about that.
Yes. Yeah. You know what?
Probably other bathroom products as well.
What? You know? Why don't you lead off with a little bit about the deodorant and some of the some of the stuff like that. You know, we'll just touch on it for a second.
Yeah. Well, guys, I mean, the regular deodorant that you have actually has aluminum that clogs up your pores. And you can get aluminum-free deodorant if you look hard enough for it. That's not something you want to be putting in your body. I can't imagine drinking out of an aluminum can would be any good. I certainly wouldn't do that. I haven't done that in years.
But the thing is, most cans, I don't believe, are even I don't know, are they maybe they are, but anyway,
cans and stuff are mostly aluminium.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, a lot of people just have a caller. Hold on, guys, we have a caller. Hello, Tiffany, you're on Dose of Reality Radio. Hello.
All right. Well, while we're waiting for the caller, I just wanted to when the caller gets their bearings or whatever, then maybe she'll talk. But, you know, a big thing of, like Brian was saying about the deodorant,
hello?
Though. And, hello. Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me. Hello.
Yeah, we hear you, Tiffany.
Can you hear us?
Damn it.
All right. We'll have to have you call back, Tiffany.
All right. You know, as Brian was saying about the aluminum and the deodorant. Now, if you look at most women where they get breast cancer, it's actually, you know, right in those, lymph nodes, which is right under the armpit. And a lot of people are making that connection nowadays. That is most likely the number one cause of breast cancer nowadays. And, That's one of the things there, and it makes a lot of sense, you know, because you're clogging your ducts up with, you know, your pores and your ducts with aluminum, and it's going and turning into, some people say cancer is a fungus, like Dr. Tullio Simontacci, I believe it is, the one that has made a cure with sodium bicarbonate in molasses, which is really just baking soda. We'll get into that a little after some of the cures. But, you know, to make a long story short, though, with the deodorant, there is things out there like certain what would it be like crystals or rocks or what are the things that people
there's some crystal something, and then I know they just have some aluminum free, like from Toms of Maine and smaller companies like that. It seems like it doesn't last quite as long. I have to apply it twice a day, but at least I'm not putting aluminum under my armpits, you know.
I'll tell you what, with me it doesn't work so well. You know, at least maybe there's a better one out there, but you know, what I've actually been doing is trying to you know, and I don't even know if it's any better, but you know, is you know, when I don't go out, I really try not to you know, try not to put it on. But if I go out, I'll do like baby powder and you know, baking soda or something like that. You know, because baking soda is, you know, good for killing smells as well. I've also heard of citrus things that people have made up, citrus and other, you know, mixtures of oranges and orange, you know, with orange peels or, you know, different things like that. I'd have to look into it, you know, personally, and I actually don't know 100% which is the best way to go on this. Obviously, aluminum free would be, but, you know, yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Disinfo says just wash your armpits twice a day. Yeah, no, you definitely. That's pretty much what I try to do, because you know. And here's the thing: a lot of people, with guys especially, the smell mostly comes from the hair. That's where the that's where the organisms gather, and that's where, you know, you're gonna get the smell from. So I mean, some people do shave their armpits. I can't do that personally. I just won't do it. But, you know, again, it's something that, you know, some people do just for this reason. And that's probably, you know, why women's armpits don't smell as bad as men's. But
yeah, probably. All right. You know what? We're going to take a quick break, guys. We'll be back in 3 minutes. And then we're going to get into a few other health related issues. If you guys want to stay on the line and contribute, that'd be great. If you can't, you can't. But we'll be right back right after this break. Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely, with my co-host, Justin Cook. We also have David Black joining us tonight. David, did you have anything else you wanted to add before we were going to kind of move on to GMOs a little bit next?
Right. Did I have anything to add? Yeah, a couple of quick things I suppose I could add there. Going back about a year and something, I was having discussions with a fellow in Ireland, and they were trying to remove the fluoride from the drinking water in Ireland somewhere there. So I wonder if they succeeded. I never got to know. So it'd be nice to find out if they actually managed to remove it. And anything else on fluoride that I can think of? Well, let's see if we can get the fluoride out. Yeah, those aluminium cans, or it's some sort of alloy, I think. It's not just aluminium, it's some sort of an alloy. And they also put some sort of a coating in there, which is the bisphenol A, which is a hormone-altering thing. Yeah, so that's another thing related to beer cans, not directly related to aluminium, but it kind of gets into the...
I forgot to mention that, the bisphenol A.
Yeah, that's a real cracker, that one. And according to Alan Watt... who I think really does a great job of painting the picture. He's been mentioning the bisphenol A, and he reckons, according to his research, that they've known about this for at least 200 years, about this chemical and its effects. So there you go. That's that on fluoride.
Well, you know, with bisphenol A, we're talking about something here that what it actually is known as a gender bending chemical.
Yeah.
It's found in most plastics. It's a lot of times it'll be listed as a number 7 plastic, I believe. A lot of places are getting rid of this stuff somewhat, but it's still been around for, you know, a good while, at least on the market and a lot of your plastic and stuff like that. What it does is it's, you know, it's another thing that's, again, you know, cancer, which is, you know, cancer is an industry, guys. It's yeah. Really, it's something that can be totally prevented. It's something that they can cure, but they can make more money off of, you know, pushing toxic treatments and, you know, and just not only that, but if you don't live through it, then, oh, well, you know, you're just a useless eater anyway. So, you know, the thing about bisphenol A, though, what it does is, because it actually has what's the woman version of instead of testosterone,
estrogen.
Estrogen, correct. Yeah, it actually gives you higher levels of estrogen. And yeah. so what it does is, if you're a male, that gives you lower sperm count, can give you make you develop somewhat of breasts. I mean, if you're exposed to a lot of it. For females, it's going to give you breast cancer. It's going to make females go into puberty earlier. It's going to also,
that's in the milk, right? That's not in the raw milk?
No, that's bovine growth hormone,
BGH. Yeah, okay, all right. Got him confused there. Yeah,
recombinant.
Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, so I mean, the whole thing is that when you look at these girls that are, 8 years old going through puberty already.
Oh, it's stuff
that's
the plastic.
Reason why.
It's the stuff in the plastic, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Bisphenol A. Yep.
Okay.
Also known as BPA. A lot of this stuff. It goes, but different names or whatever. But like I said, I believe it was the number 7 plastic as well. If you see that on anything, throw it out. I do know my state, Connecticut, is actually looking to ban it. But that's what they do. They have to throw you a bone every now and then because the stuff is genuinely evil. But they'll probably replace it with something just as bad. Who knows? But it's, and like I said, with gender bending, it's something that can actually, and people talk about a gay agenda and a lot of that stuff. Well, there's parts of that are true. They do like homosexuality, just like they like, many other things. And I have nothing against gays, but I do believe that a good amount are being somewhat getting poisoned into, from drugs like this at a young age. It's affecting their hormones a different way, affecting their brain chemistry. And I think that they've, somewhat found a way to do it. And, I do believe it's in your head. I don't think that anyone chooses to be gay, but I do believe that there's definitely it's definitely going on out there to make people, make people homosexual. You don't reproduce.
And you don't reproduce, which fits into the eugenics mindset agenda entirely, doesn't it? Because if you want to reduce the population, I mean, well, we all know what happens. We know about the birds and the bees, so we don't need to spell that out. But yeah, a homosexual couple aren't going to be making a lot of babies, are they?
No. Certainly not.
And you mentioned recombinant bovine growth hormone. That's a real cracker, that is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was doing some research on that, and hey presto, it's Monsanto again. And also Lilly as well. What's it called?
Lilly Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, they're connected with it as well, and it's a cause of great concern. I mean, you see the state of these cows, the pus building up around their udders and stuff. It looks atrocious. Right. You don't want to look at those pictures and drink a carton of milk afterwards. And literally, I mean, what is it? They're not manipulating, changing,
hold on, David. Let's go back for a second there. I want to get into something that David just brought up. It sounds very disgusting, but what David's talking about is because these cows, dairy cows, are milked so much, and because they're given this hormone, in the machines and whatnot, they actually build up pus on their udders. And yeah. There's actually the FDA allows I don't know how many parts per thousand, but there's actually an amount of allowed to be pus in your milk, and you wouldn't know. It's white. It's and as gross as that sounds, it's the truth, and that's what happens when you have factory farming and bottom line only. Don't care about the animals' welfare. Don't care how it's, everything is money and everything is, and that's what they do to thing. They're not part of, they're not, the laughing behind the gen. But, a lot of these factory farmers are, You know, they know damn well that, you know, their bottom line depends on people getting sick and people dying and people eating and drinking gross shit that they wouldn't drink or eat if they knew what was in it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's called mastitis, this thing. Mastitis or something, yeah. And Monsanto again, and basically it's a growth hormone, as I understand it. It's a growth hormone that's naturally produced by the cows, and Monsanto have kind of bioengineered a version of that and pumping it in. What was it called again? Posilac. It's a trade name of the substance that they're actually injecting into these cows. They sell it to farmers under the name Posilac and so on. So that's a little bit of info for you on that one.
Mm. No, it's just insane, you know, when you go down the list. I mean, you know, we're going to go, a lot more too. But, I mean, you know, look at already, you know, we talked about the sweeteners. We're talking about what's in your milk, which, of course, goes in your ice cream, your yogurt, your cheese and everything else. Yeah. You know, it's just everywhere. You know, you can... You know, and all this stuff is regulated, and that's what we're getting in a you know, that's what is sad about these three letter agencies that we have. You know, that they've totally been sold out. They've totally been, you know, co-opted. You know, and that's just how things are run. And like I said, the people that are doing it most likely think that they're just, you know, doing it for money. And but again, there's, you know, a real ugly side to this. And you know, they have a lot of trendy words for this, you know, back, you know, Hitler turned eugenics into an ugly word. So you have nowadays words like, you know, sustainable development, you know, and Agenda 21, which, you know, actually me and Chris was on the line, we're talking about the other night. A lot of these different programs that come along with UN Agenda 21. You know, but it's right there. And, you know, even look at the Kissinger population papers, I believe it's called, from the early 70s. And they talk about, you know, really getting the population down. They have a population czar as well. You know, and that's what this it's no joke that they're, you know, trying to cull the herd.
They openly stated at the Rio summit in 1992 in Brazil that they have a goal of reducing the world's population to 1 billion in this case.
Yeah, you know, you never know what numbers, you know, you hear. Of course, the famous one is the Alex Jones 500 million. Then I've heard 1 billion. No, 500 million.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what you've got on the Georgia Guidestones as
right.
Well.
Right, exactly. Right, that's true. Yeah, I shouldn't even attribute it to Jones, but that's where, you know, that's where a lot of people have heard that. But you know, and then also too, you hear people like Bill Gates just say, "Hey, in the next 20 years, you know, if we do really good with vaccines and you know, pretty much abortions, then we can get the population down. What do you say, 20%? I believe something around there." Is there a caller on?
Yeah, you can actually hear find that clip of him saying that on YouTube still. Right. I think it's still there, actually.
Oh, it's so, Tiffany. Are you on the line?
Yeah.
Okay, did you have a question?
Yeah, I want to ask the question about, like, what's the difference between diet soda and regular soda? Like, what's the healthiest of that or something?
The healthy, but the diet soda is even worse because it has the aspartame in it. The fake sugar is what makes it worse.
Right.
Okay. Now,
it comes under the number E951 aspartame, just so you know.
Here's the thing too, Tiffany. Besides that, there is a little bit better soda you can get that's made with real cane sugar, but your Coca-Cola and them, very rarely. Pepsi had it for a few months last year. They had, you know, soda with real cane sugar, and there's a local place near me that makes it with real cane sugar. And, of course, it's not great for you. Nothing that's, you know, mostly sugar product is great for you. But that is, it's not going to, You know, the high fructose corn syrup leads directly to diabetes and possibly cancer, whereas aspartame leads to total neurological disorders and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and even, you know, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. You know, all these different things, and it's, you know, 'cause it messes with your neurological system. It messes with your nerves and gives you restless legs and, you know, all that stuff. It's real bad migraines and vision loss and all types of stuff like that.
Yeah, I know, 'cause I stopped drinking soda like a year ago, so that's good for me.
Yeah, you know, soda is something, you know, you really want to stay away from if you...
Yeah, because it has all the acid type thing, whatever, and it rots your teeth and, you know...
Yeah, well, it's, it's a hydrochloric, is that what's in it?
Break that happened too. I used to drink like a whole 12-pack of Pepsi a day.
Yeah, I used to drink a lot of soda. It has too much sugar in it. I don't like it.
I never was big on it. Every now and then, you know, I don't mind, you know, a nice cold Dr. Pepper or something like that. But, you know, I'll tell you what, the local soda we have around here called Fox and Park actually is very good. They make, like, all these different, you know, raspberry sodas and sarsaparilla and, you know, and all these other, a few different, like, what's that?
Other flavored ones?
Yeah, cherry, they make all. Cherry soda is really good too. Here, yep. There's a bunch of different kinds. There's Gassosa, which is kind of like a Sprite one. It's, you know, it's a lot of like Italian themed ones, or, you know, but it's like I said, it's made with cane sugar. It's most time in a glass bottle. It's you know, but regardless, soda is something, yeah, like you said, you know, you pretty much you want to cross that off your list.
What about ginger ale?
It's soda. It's sugar. Thing. Yeah. Okay. The only difference is...
If you get the diet ginger ale, you get the aspartame.
Yeah. Even regular ginger ale, too. You know, it still has, you know, copious amounts of sugar in it.
Yeah, I know. I stopped drinking that.
Drinking real juice would be the best option, I guess.
I already have. I do that, so...
But I'm not going to lie. I still drink soda, even though I preach that you shouldn't, but I still do.
Of course.
I work in a restaurant and it's free, you know? It's like, how do you know?
Well, you know, that's the thing. A lot of us, we don't 100%, you know, but just knowing this stuff is better than not knowing it. You know, you can choose tomorrow to stop it. You know, at least you know that smoking's bad for you. You may still do it, but you know, that's
because of it, you know? I'm only drinking like 2 or 3 a day instead of 10 or 12. That's the only reason.
Yeah. Right.
So addicted to the taste, to the sugar part. That's why, I guess, that you're so addicted to it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's almost like a quick buzz, like anything else. Caffeine does it. Just like drinking a coffee, you know, gives you that quick caffeine buzz or whatever. A lot of people, some people start their day with a Mountain Dew. And, you know, I know people like that.
Yeah, I used to be addicted to coffee like years ago, and I stopped being addicted. So I just drink coffee once a week, I would say.
Yeah, see, I am addicted to coffee. I'll admit that.
Yeah, because of the taste and everything. The caffeine.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, it's really not, I don't know, I don't believe it's harmful, though, that, you know, as far as, the only thing that's harmful is, you know, putting a lot of sugar in it. But as far as coffee itself, there's not a lot of bad properties to it
I
know. No.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it? Coffee made from a bean.
Yes.
That's it.
Yep.
That's all it's made from.
Yep. Yeah. It's just a bean ground up into grounds and then put in boiling water. That's all.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Anything natural like that, you know, and teas as well.
Tea. I drink tea because in case I have an asthma attack and I need it, so I drink that a few times.
Actually, I use coffee, a very strong coffee, if I get an asthma attack. It works at least as well as any Ventolin or related asthma medicines. And by the way, you can cure asthma again by changing your diet and a lot of other things. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm already on one. I started last week.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so it will better for my asthma instead of getting it every day. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good for me.
Sounds good.
Yeah. and I like it, so I'm going to stick to it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I cured my asthma myself. I figured many years ago, I mean, I had really serious asthma, actually. I ended up being flatlined at a hospital on more than one occasion growing up in England. And, you know, nobody told me anything. I must have had some common sense. So I realized that I needed more and more of this medicine to be able to breathe. And I was on them between 10 and 20 times the maximum recommended dose, a daily recommended dose.
Was that a steroid medicine?
Oh, that's the other one. That's the Becotide, which is a corticosteroid. Okay. The Ventolin is a bit of a different thing. The Becotide or the corticosteroids are usually long-term treatments. They're supposed to be long-term treatments, but the Ventolin and this is like an instant. Let's say your bronchial tubes have contracted, right. So it will help to relax the muscles and open the bronchioles and so on, more or less instantly. So that's kind of the two. They come under many different names, but they usually have the same ingredients, all these different versions of inhalers. And
I'll tell you what. Go ahead, Tiffany. What were you saying?
I'm fine.
Different names, but the same medicine.
Different brands or whatever.
The same find stuff. Find out with any medicine. They'll have five different names for it.
I'll tell you what. I used to take a puff off when I played football and we were running wind sprints, and I see the guys with asthma, you know, taking a puff off their inhaler. And a couple times, you know, I'd be huffing and puffing like, you know, anybody else in the August sun running, you know. I used to take a puff off it. It would open your lungs up a little bit more and let you get a little more air in. I don't know if you would recommend it to someone without asthma doing it, but I used to do it back in every now and then, you know, just for shits and giggles, like when we had to run 100-yard sprints or whatever, but...
Yeah,
right,
definitely.
Right. I found out after many years' experience that I needed more and more of this stuff, and I realized that, crikey, I mean, you know, if I imagine like a year down the line, I'm going to be like on a 30 times overdose just to be able to breathe, so I figured this medicine isn't doing any good for me. It certainly doesn't cure the problem.
No,
it won't cure
it
your
just,
asthma.
It just treats it, yeah. It just
takes the symptoms away and it doesn't treat the problem most modern medicine. So you'll find a lot of the time, most of the time, it's things in one's diet and also stress in life combined with what one is getting in one's diet. E220 sulfur dioxide can also cause asthma attacks. So watch out on your ingredients. If you're looking at dried fruits, like dried apricots, often contain E220 sulfur dioxide. Potato products, beers, vinegar. Some vinegars actually have E220. So that's really one to watch out for on the asthma front as well.
Wow, didn't know that.
Yeah, that's good to know. Listen, guys, we gotta take a break real quick, and we'll be back in a few minutes. All right.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. You've been listening to Live Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook.
No, you were talking, weren't you?
No, I was just asking where you guys wanted to go from here. What was the last thing we were talking about before the break?
We got into the recombinant bovine growth hormone, bisphenol A. Trying to think exactly where we were at. I don't know. Well, we could always start with something else, if not. I don't know, Brian, did you want to get into some genetically modified food?
Yeah, pretty
you know,
much.
It's a big subject considering California's got it on the ballot this year, Proposition 37, I believe it is. And, you know, what that would do is force everyone that's selling genetically modified organisms or food to put labels on them saying so. We've seen a lot of stuff, people like Whole Foods and whatnot have... You know, supposedly the good guys, you know, what you would think would be, you know, to get decent food from, they're actually one of the people that have been, lobbying you know, lobbying to vote against this proposition. So, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, even these so-called, you know, natural organic, you know, stores, when it comes down to it, you know, they sold out a couple of years ago anyway. But I don't know. So, you know, why don't you get into some of the info on it anyway? I just wanted to bring that up because it's in the forefront of, you know.
Well, so some of the main points is that, you know, it's never been proven safe. For the most part, you're getting it from a company, Monsanto, who, you know, the same people that bring you Roundup, the most deadly, like, you know, herbicide that there is. The same people that brought you Agent Orange. And the food itself has done, you know, in a lot of different studies, it has been proven to cause infertility. There's, like, big issues in Africa and South America where a lot of people are fertile now. A lot of tissue and organ damage from genetically modified food. And it's just like, you know, nothing will be done about it because, like we said earlier, the head guy at the FDA is now, you know, I mean, you know, he was a former Monsanto attorney. And what they've also done is, you know, a lot of countries, I don't know how many, you know, I don't know. But I know a lot of countries do have banned the GMO food. And in the United States, the FDA actually made it illegal to even let people know that they're eating it. Like, you can't even put "this contains GMO products" on the label. And that's just absurd to me.
Yeah. You know, you would think that, you know, that there would be, that's how bad it is. You know, you hear a lot of these other stuff, things we've talked about. And, you know, and they'll go and push a campaign to tell people it's not that bad. Well, they've gone the opposite way here. They've actually decided to not even tell you that it's in it. You know, and that just goes to show, it's like, you know, we're not saying we have a superior product, although they sell it to the farmers as such. They tell the farmers, well, hey, you lost, 10% of your crops last year. You know, if you buy our stuff, you won't lose any. You know, and there again, it's the bottom line. Of course, we have farmers now that have to, you know, make quotas on certain things. They aren't allowed to grow certain things. And, you know, they're told to, you know, and again, we have a good amount of food farmers that are growing just ethanol and, you know, corn for ethanol and stuff like that. You know, we have a lot of food that goes wasted and never sees a dinner plate, you know, you know, for the record, the corn is one of the worst GMO things out there. And I believe, you know, pretty much in the United States, 97-98% of our vegetables are GMO. So, you know, that's what we're looking at when it comes to produce and whatnot. So, you know, it may be a little lower, but it's definitely, it's in the 90%. And it's growing. Now, you know, I believe the other countries that allow it are England and Brazil. I believe everywhere else it has to be labeled or whatever. You know, and that's the thing. I believe a couple of years ago, there was a shipment that arrived in China of strawberries. Now, we've all grown up and heard how, you know, how bad this Chinese government is and how bad that, you know, they mistreat their, you know, their people. But then again, they wouldn't even take these strawberries that, you know, that they have no problem feeding us. So what does that go to show you? You know, it's insane. It's just, you know, the fact that China is turning down food that comes from here, you know, and because of that reason. So, you know, it's Frankenfoods. They've opened Pandora's box, you know.
So, you know, Tiffany, we're going to have to let you go off the line. It's just bringing in too much static in the background. I'm sorry.
Do you hear anything now? Because I just turned off one thing just now.
It's still kind of loud in the background. I mean, we'll give it a try, but if it stays loud, I have to disconnect you.
Okay.
You know, another thing, too, is getting back to, you know, the GMO thing is, you know, it's not a 100% fix either, because you know, there's still a lot of people out there that you know, like last year, for example, there was crops grown and they were you know, sold by Monsanto, Roundup Ready crops, and these crops got eaten up. You know, so what they were actually told to do, they actually were sold a competitor's product for once that was stronger, had stronger pesticides in it, and they were told, well, hey, why don't you grow 25% organic crop and use that as, you know, the bait pretty much, and let pretty much sacrifice 25% of your crop by growing it organic and grow the other 75% with this new, you know, this new one that the bugs are not resistant to yet. Because that's the thing, guys. Nature is always going to react. For everything you do, you know, they adapt. And the bugs that eat this stuff, well, you know, the next generation bug is going to be able to withstand a little bit more and a little bit more. So what happens? More and more Roundup and more herbicides and pesticides get added. And pretty soon, you know, we're radioactive. You know, we're glowing over here. So I mean, it's totally disturbing. You know, just to you know, just to think about the fact that a lot of people don't know this. I was talking to a farmer the other day, though. I actually had a job cleaning up some wood, and went down there, and this farmer knew, you know, knew all about it. Was so surprised that I knew about it. And you know, and they were saying, you know, that all this stuff is really coming to an end, and they've been getting pressured to sell their farm. I know another person, the same thing. They want these farms sold to corporate interests, people that will, you know, bend and will grow whatever they're told to grow or whatever else, you know. And that's the thing. And you know, and another thing that comes with GMOs, I believe, is the loss of the honeybee. Bees are dying off at a rate that's unbelievable, and I think that the only things that could possibly explain this would be chemtrails and GMO.
Yep.
And also the concoction, I think it was 61 chemicals or something that they suddenly started spraying on the bees, just happened to coincide with bee deaths and bees swiveling off and leaving hives and stuff in France and in the Americas. It was kind of, I don't know where that came from. It's a long time since I looked at that information. It was either 41 or 61 chemicals, or at least a large amount of chemicals there, that they just decided to start spraying on the hives. So, you know, I've been thinking about that. What is more likely to cause, and I don't know the answer, but I mean, I'm just thinking it's pretty logical that something that's sprayed directly into the hive has a greater chance of affecting the bee population than other things. But I think it probably has something to do with it, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think like everything else, you know, it's not exactly a one pronged answer, and of course, like you're saying, that's definitely a huge you know, factor. And I do remember hearing that, now that you say it. You know, and it just goes to show, and I mean, you know, bees are something that it's a cycle of life. They have to be here. You know, if your plants do not get pollinated, they will not grow.
Yeah, you need bees. Yeah. That's like the most basic thing you need for growth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are there any other species that pollinate flowers besides bees? No, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you do. I was actually watching some other insects. What were they? Up here in Norway, actually, in the garden here. And I was looking at other insects that were going into flowers and stuff. So it suddenly occurred to me, it's not just bees that are going from flower to flower.
I believe it's other hornets, and, like, you know, everything in that family type thing, pretty much. But bees are well known for doing it, you know, for doing the bulk of the work. Bees are meticulous. Yeah, it's part of their nature, you know.
Yeah.
And this info in the chat says butterflies too, and some birds also pollinate. So right. Makes sense, David. You're saying,
yeah, hummingbirds, yeah, they like a bit of flower, don't they? That's why they've got those long beaks,
right?
Yep.
You know, but here's the thing: like we said, these things are not going to pollinate on a level, you know, that the honeybee does, you know, and that was another thing too, that the Africanized bees a few years ago, you know, that was pretty weird that they're messing with all these strains. It's, you know, and you have to wonder. I mean, obviously, it's more of their Frankenstein shit that I think, you know, it's more of the, you know, them just seeing what genes they can mix. But, you know, they made these Africanized bees, and now they're, you know, more vicious, and I don't believe they're any more beneficial for the you know, for the plants or anything else, and they've taken over now in North America.
Another thing is these Bill Gates mosquitoes.
He's openly stated
that he wants to genetically.
That's downright frightening. That is really
worrying, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. I mean, what are these psycho? I wonder about these flipping psychopaths. But he openly admits he wants to release genetically modified mosquitoes to vaccinate the population. who's going to lock this guy up? This Bill Gates.
It's ridiculous.
I would say the three biggest eugenicists that have come out. I would say Gates is really number one. Number two would probably be David DeRothschild. And I would say number three is Kissinger.
And the Rockefeller Foundation, really.
Right.
If you look at the history of the Rockefeller Foundation, that's eugenics.
Right.
And big time.
All of them, right. But I'm saying right now, you know, the three. Of course, this all goes back. You know, this is all, you know, hundreds of years. J.P. Morgan, all the same people that funded Hitler, are funding all of this. You know, and that's the funny thing about it. Not.
Justin, we lost your mic.
All right.
Yeah, all right. You're back.
Okay, hold on. Let me just get the thing in my hand. Yeah, no, so, you know, I was just saying that, you know, these guys like Bill Gates and, you know, even Ted Turner. Ted Turner is most likely the one that had the Guidestones built. You know, so, I mean, it's a lot of these people that people think are good people. Now, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is sinister. It's so sinister that it, you know, like David said, this guy needs to be locked in a cage. He really does. You know, and we also have some well-known actors and actresses, like Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, pretty much that whole crew that was in, you know, the Ocean's 11 movies. What was his name? Even the black guy. They've recently started a couple charities in Africa. And, you know, supposedly what they're over there doing is, you know, always feeding the poor, clothing the sick, you know, giving in vaccinations, of course. But what they're, you know, the main thing is you see these people with their bones, their ribs showing, and, you know, their stomachs are you know, punched out because they have, you know, they're swollen from not eating. And you would think that, and you see them getting a shot in their arm. Now, not for nothing, I'm no genius, but I would think that you know, number one, we all know that diet comes first. Now, are these people are they going to die from a disease, or are they going to die first from starvation? I think that the number one should be feeding these people, and then, you know, number two would be I think it would be better to not vaccinate. Let's just make sure they can get clean water. That's really the main thing that Africa needs right now, and they've got a lot of stuff, like they have these straws now. You know, like you buy them survival straws, and you can drink out of a somewhat murky pond, you know, with algae and stuff, or, you know, and different things in it. It has an internal filter in it. They're pretty damn good. I would say for anyone to grab a couple, just for, you know, for the shit and whatever.
Yeah. It's amazing, though, isn't it? Because when I over 30 years ago, I was hearing at school in England, starving people in Africa, all the same things that we hear today, and this, and that they didn't have clean drinking water and all this and that. And okay, so they've had over 30 years, all these so-called charities. What have they done with the money? Well, they pocket it for themselves, living in five-star hotels, driving around in limos and Mercs and all this. And because there really is an agenda, and these so-called philanthropists. Yes. It all sounds very impressive, it has terrible connotations, doesn't it? Yes,
I really do. I loathe that word, and I hear people that I know saying it like, "Oh, he's a philanthropist," like that. That just means that what he does is good no matter what, because, you know, he's giving, you know, a piece of his billions to you know, to the poor. But he's not giving; he's directing an agenda. He's putting it towards, you know, whatever the global elite want. And some of them have their own sick tendencies. Like there's, I was reading today about a billionaire, that actually wants to, he's having his brain downloaded on a hard drive, so that in case he ever lose, supposedly, so that in case, this is all like DARPA. Stuff, but this guy is funding a whole study and seeing if they can do it. He wants to download his brain. I don't know what's so special about his brain that, you know, but he wants to download it, and then that way, if something ever happens to him, he can have his brain uploaded again. I don't know how this would work, but I do believe that they are capable of shit like this, you know.
Well, they're going to promise you, and they already are promising people. I've spoken to a young lad who was very impressed. He wanted to go into a similar project that you were describing there, something similar to what you were describing. And I said to him, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go into that now, but just to mention it briefly, in my experience, there is no death or that consciousness or the spirit soul continues after the physical death, because I experienced it myself. But anyway, that's another story. But they're promising you like to live forever, download into the machine. Basically, it's just like being sucked into, it's like the Borg in Star Trek. You know, they come along in this big black cube and assimilating people into the machine. And that's the way I see that, really. And we really are being assimilated into an agenda and a machine, and so on and so forth. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it totally. You know, and I think that a big thing about this is the transhumanist agenda eventually too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. That's the key word though.
Yeah, and, you know, in this year, you know, we saw something great. You know, we saw an Olympian competed with two prosthetics on. You know, and they're metal prosthetics and or whatever. But you know, what we're seeing is they're getting more and more developed, and they actually do have robotic arms and robotic legs and stuff like that now that you're going to be seeing. And now, here's the thing: we always have to talk about, you know, the scientific thing. Is it, you know, where do you stop? You know, obviously, we do want blind people to see. We do want deaf people to hear. We want people that are, you know, that can't walk to walk. We want, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All of that is clear. You know, for humanity, if we have the science, why not help these people? But when you get to that line of when they're doing it for nefarious means or when they're doing it to help people is when you get in the gray area. And I think we're way over, you know, past the gray area in this thing. And, you know, obviously some people will benefit. You know, there may be a couple kids out there that get their sight back and, you know, stuff like that eventually. But, you know, that'd be a wonderful day to look back and say, hey, blindness has been eradicated, you know. But who knows? Maybe just kids that are going to be born blind won't be born. You know, I don't know. But, you know, to make a long story short, though, this is the road we're heading down. And I think that a lot of these things, you know, we look at it, too, with preservatives in our food. The preservatives in our food are just terrible for us. They're you know they say it's an old line that pretty much been used for a while now, and they say, you know, the longer your food shelf life, the shorter yours is going to be. And I'm not talking about canning stuff, because canning involves, you know, the only preservatives you're using there would be like a salt or vinegar or, you know, olive oil or whatever. But, you know, talking about this processed food that goes through all this various heating and, you know, pasteurization and all, you know, it's all this other stuff, and it's no good for you. You know, and I want to get back to the milk for a second, you know, and you look at it, and there's a quick question. You know, there's people that are lactose intolerant out there, and from what I understand, a good amount of people that are lactose intolerant can still drink some raw milk without, you know, it upsetting their stomach. And the reason for that is because raw milk has probiotics in it, you know, and sometimes there is actually good germs out there, and the good germs go in your stomach and kill all the a lot of the bacteria that you have there. And, you know, that's a big thing with a lot of this stuff. And, you know, so things like raw milk, and now it's been totally demonized. It's been totally, you know, we saw Amish people, you know, getting SWAT teams called in because someone's selling raw milk. You know, and that's something that, you know, when you pasteurize milk, you take all of the nutrients out of it. You know, you homogenize it, same thing. You're heating it up to a point to where you're taking, you know, any nutritional value goes out the window. That's why processed cheeses aren't good for you, but aged cheeses are okay. You know, they're not as bad for you, and they're actually beneficial in some ways. You know, a lot of the old timers, the old Italians that I grew up around, my great uncles and stuff, they would actually go and have like some type of weird Asiago cheese or something hanging in their basement, and go and take a piece off right next to the mold. And these people lived to 90 something years old and in good health, you know, and everything else. And that's the thing is, you know, there's a lot of this food out there that a lot of these ethnicities, people, for example, you know, half of my lineage is Italian, like, you know, I was just saying. And, you know, a lot of the people have no problems until they get into the, you know, they start taking one or more drugs or whatever, you know, medications. And, you know, things like garlic, things like olives and olive oil and figs and this stuff, you know, it's great for figs. You.
And goat right. cheese. Goat cheese yep. is meant to be good. Yep. People who eat goat cheese, I think it's in Georgia exactly. or in the Caucasians, the Caucasia or whatever it's called in those areas.
Caucasus, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Caucasus. Yeah, that's the one. Yep. The people have got a lifespan that is higher than in most places, and they're munching on the goat cheese. So there you go.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, you know, and that's the same thing with even Italian. If you look at mozzarella, you know, which is the cheese you would find on pizza in America, it's actually in Italy. It's mozzarella di bufalo, and it comes from the water buffalo. And it's highly, you know, it's very good for you. It's not bad for you. And they take the bottom of it and they make a ricotta from it, you know, which right. is, you know, used in lasagna or, you know, whatever else. And you know, these cheeses are not bad for you. And a lot of these, you know, aged cheeses are not bad for you. And that's, you know, that's the thing. But then you get into this processed stuff. You got the, you know, your Kraft and Velveeta and all this stuff. And that stuff is, you know, it's you know, it, just like everything else. It's not great for you. You know, it's especially the waxier the cheese, too, usually the better. And I'm not talking about the stuff that's the wax on the outside, but the actual cheese. When it looks waxy, that's usually not good. I don't know. I want to let someone else speak because I've been hogging the mic for a while. I just wanted to break down just a couple of the observations I had from, you know, family members.
Yeah. Now, Chris, did you have anything you wanted to add? I don't know if he's still here listening, but I know he was in the call. Yeah, I mean, I don't really got much more. How about you, David?
Well, yeah, to be honest, it's 4:44 in the morning here, and I'm pretty tired, but I can hang out a bit more if necessary.
Yeah, we are. Well,
what's up, Justin?
No, see, I don't know. We'll go another 15, 20 minutes or so. Are you good with that?
Another thing I forgot to mention about, we were talking about aluminium, are the countless studies that have shown connection between Alzheimer's and aluminium, and so how it can affect your memory. So that was just one little thing that I forgot to mention when we were talking about aluminium. So that was that one.
Oh yeah. No, aluminum is terrible for anything, you know, in your head wise. And that, you know, that's the thing. And look at what they're spraying in the skies with chemtrails. You know, you have aluminum, barium, strontium, and these things are all, you know, we're breathing those in. And you know, you're seeing these new diseases out there. For one, you have Morgellons, which is actually, you know, when you start looking into Morgellons, it gets pretty scary. And I had someone message me the other day and told me they had lesions and itching. They felt things crawling underneath them and, you know, and whatnot. And I believe this person may have Morgellons now, you know,
Crikey.
You know, it's insane. And I've actually read some information about bio-API, it's called. And so pretty much everybody has it. It's just some people doesn't manifest, you know, doesn't lock on to your DNA like some people's will or whatever. You know, and that's the thing. I think there's certain combinations of DNA that if it, you know, if you get a certain batch of it, will match with you, and then you'll have it or whatever. And it's, and you know, more and more people are getting it. It's not just known. You know, a few years ago, it was known as just like a disease for. They thought it was a mental disorder, or at least they claimed to think it was. And you know, it just goes to show that you know what are these people doing? You know, up there with this nanotech and smaller technology. You know, the fact that you're able to make bugs crawl out of out of people's holes that you know their skin cracks because of this, you know, disease. And another thing too, fibromyalgia. What's that?
What's fibromyalgia?
Well, fibromyalgia is pretty much something that they've made up in the last 15 years or so, ever since chemtrailing really, you know, got big. And fibromyalgia, now let's look at the root word of it. That's fiber, which chemtrails have, you know, fibers in, you know. And that's what we see in Morgellons. You see the fibers work in the way of the surface. But, well, fibromyalgia, though, actually is a disease that they've kind of, you know, made up to say that anybody having certain symptoms, you know.
Symptoms from the chemtrails, they say they have that disease.
Right. Right, there's a very long laundry list of things that, you know, like they say, oh, if you're disturbed a lot, if you're depressed, if you're this and that, or, you know, if you're having trouble breathing, if you're having pain, then you have fibromyalgia. And a lot of people are getting diagnosed with this because they don't know what else to tell them. But in reality, like you said, it's most likely caused from chemtrails, GMOs, any number of the things that we've, you know, addressed. I'm trying to think of what we haven't addressed so we can... you know, get into it a little bit just on the last, you know.
We had another caller. James is in the call now. James, did you add anything you want to add?
Yeah, I was just thinking of a few things you maybe didn't get to. I haven't heard the whole show, but just one thing I was thinking about the last few days is these, you know, pills that they give people. I know Brian's got some, I'm not sure if it's exactly the same thing, but people with, you know, at least high blood pressure, I'm not sure about low blood pressure, but there's beta blocker pills and things that I know my dad's on them, and he's had doctors say to him that, you know, he would die, you know, if he didn't take them or whatever. And I've always been curious of the blood pressure thing, just wondering, you know, like, is it a smoke screen? Like, is it just another excuse to give people pills and things, like, you know?
Find all sorts of excuses for giving people's pills. I think you mentioned beta blockers. I know a lot of people who ended up going, well, who aren't with us anymore, who have been pumping themselves with that stuff.
Yep. Another one is statins, and that's for the cholesterol monster. And now, you know, of course, during the 90s, they pumped us full of cholesterol propaganda. And of course, cholesterol is a real stat. However, it is kind of hard to tell which is good cholesterol and which is bad cholesterol, and everybody's number is a little different. And now the statins, you know, supposedly that there's studies, some studies show that they don't work at all to benefit lowering cholesterol, and others do. And, you know, and again, it's just another drug that you're taking. You don't know the risks of it, and yet, you know, millions of Americans are on this stuff. And you know, and who benefits in the end but Big Pharma? And everything that they get is taken from usually something good, and they add some shitty shits to it to make it last longer, and then you're going to take it, and then whatever, you know, whatever it does to you, it does to you. And some of these things, yes, they are, you know, there is useful medicines out there for certain things, but I'd say that really, you know, 80% of the things that Big Pharma pushes have a negative agenda behind it, or some part of the slow kill, you know, there's It's really insane. You know, I can't believe that more people haven't noticed it. You know, earlier we were talking about, like, the Ritalin and stuff, too. You know, and the kids and the Adderall. And I know girls right now that are prescribed Adderall and Percocet 30s, you know, which is, like, you know, which is, you know, a high number of Percocet. It's like eating six regular Percocets in one. And the whole thing about it is, you know, Adderall's like a synthetic speed pretty much. So you're pretty much getting prescribed a legal speedball by your doctor. And a lot of girls I know are really messed up on these Adderall things and don't even realize it, you know.
Yeah, the whole ADD, ADHD thing, I know so many kids that have been diagnosed. It seems like, you know, the test isn't even that thorough, you know. They think you got it, you know. Like, they just...
Yeah, well, I mean, my take on that is that they literally invent these diagnoses as a label to as a tool to then prescribe these questionable drugs. And I mean, it was bipolar, and then it was ADHD and ADD, and now we've even got something called ODD, which is oppositional defiant disorder. So if you don't bow down to authority, you are then classified as being mentally ill.
Yeah,
and medicated. Yeah, no,
crazy. You know, you're crazy for being crazy. You know, and that's the thing. Yeah, no, it's like James was saying with the ADHD thing. You know, a lot of people have said also too that a lot of it has to do with the gluten in the diet. You know, and a lot of people are starting gluten-free diets and stuff. You know, and that's one thing I have a problem with is because I eat a lot of bread. You know, so, I couldn't imagine going gluten-free. But I think it's something that, you know, it's maybe, you know, should be thought about cutting down. And you know, and there's a lot of things like that to where, you know, it's not that harmful. But you need to take, you know, to not eat it every day. But there is some of this stuff that you should never touch, and that's the aspartames and, you know, the 100% GMO corn and, you know, a lot of these big pharma drugs. You know, and here's another thing, too, getting on the, you know, a lot of these antidepressants is, you know, how many people have you heard of or, you know, that you even know? Were not suicidal at all and decided to kill themselves, or decided to commit a violent act against someone else, you know. So I think that they're on there. I mean, even the Columbine kid, he successfully lobbied the FDA to have them put on there that it may cause homicidal tendencies, you know. So I mean, it's on the bottle now, you know.
Yeah, there are in fact several. Medicines, so-called medicines, in a book I did have, which I can't find it. I thought it was in my bookshelf. I was trying to dig it out the other day. It's called Felles Katalog, and in Norwegian, it's kind of a catalog of medicines, what they, the side effects and ingredients and all sorts of stuff like that, chemical composition, and. I don't know how many there, you know, suicidal tendencies was on. I don't know how many of those antidepressants and stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely amazing, and people still go out and get it. Yeah, I mean, people go regularly to their doctors because they think they have to go there to go to their doctors. I mean, if we had real food to eat and clean water, we wouldn't be getting so sick in the first place. And today, farmers are being paid off in England and in the States, and probably in other places too that I haven't heard of yet, to not grow things. Now, how peculiar is that? Well, that says a couple of things to me straight away. One thing is they want to make absolutely sure we get this GMO garbage down the old gullet. And another thing is that they want to also make an impression, don't they? That's become very obvious, that there isn't enough food to go around for some reason to feed the world, because and that's one of the excuses they're using to reduce the world's population. So here we go, paying off farmers to not grow something. That's one to keep your eyes open for.
Yeah,
totally. You know, and the thing is, right now with the economy so bad, we have more people than anything, and I think that if anything, you know, I think right now, you know, with the uncertainties we face, you know what? I would applaud you more than for having a big garden than a manicured lawn and everything else. I think that's something people need to do. Everybody needs to start a garden, you know, and that way you can barter with your neighbors and you know, just,
yeah.
you know, that's the thing. We have to get back to you know, to what works, and a lot of these things work if you just, you know, if you're trying to make it work, you know, and if you're not trying to sabotage it like they've done.
We'll have to convince those SWAT teams to leave us alone when we're growing organic veg.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I think it's a good hobby to have, too, to grow stuff. You know, it's a good activity, you know.
Yeah, it would be nice to go back a bit to the old barter system, grow a bit of veg, swap a bit of egg for a bit of squash and tomato, and you can make very easily make a modernized version of the old barter system with, register it on a screen with ones and zeros or whatever. I swap my aubergine for your potatoes. Right. How many potatoes do you get for an aubergine? And you don't even have to have any tax on it. I mean, you know, why does it always have to be a middleman getting his fingers in every corner of the pie? And I'm going to have to go to sleep, and it's coming up to the top of the hour. It's 5 o'clock in the morning here in Norway, so I'm going to say thanks very much for
letting me on for a while. Staying on so late. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap it up a little earlier than usual, too. So we're going to close it out right here. And thank you for staying up so late with us, Justin or James or Christopher. If you guys have any final points before we go, let me know now. If not, we'll just wrap it up.
Yeah, I'll just make a closing statement, and I'll let you guys go. You know, the main thing is, you know, like everything else, I hate to use the word InfoWar because it brings up members of Jonestown and the controlled opposition that's over there. But this really is an information war. You know, it's out there, and it's and you know, it's these things right here are things that you can win. You know, we might not be able to prove to half the world that, you know, 9/11 was done by the government, and that it was, you know, that there was a lot of trickery afoot with the video and whatnot as well. But this stuff, like, you know, water fluoridation in our communities, you know, if you educate enough people, you can get them to take it out. You know, and these are some of the things that there is solutions for. Also with water, you know, there is some kinds of spring water that do have fluoride, some that don't. And, you know, the water, though, there's things, a lot of people I know nowadays are making their own, you know, hand-drilled wells in their backyard. So, I mean, you know, and then you have a lot of filters and stuff. The problem with sodium fluoride, though, is it bonds to a lot of stuff. So, you know, it makes it even more dangerous. But I don't know. I really, you know, I don't have too much more to add. I just wanted to, you know, go through that real quick. But wanted to thank everybody for listening. Thanks, David, for coming on, and Tiffany for the call in, and Chris for being there and back line. And, you know, anytime, David. You know, I've been on your show before. You've been on mine a few times at the here and at the other station and whatnot. You know,
right.
Always good combos, but.
Okay, cheers.
All right, yeah, I thought it was a show we really needed to do just because, you know, in case we had some new listeners or whatever, kind of go back to the basics. We haven't talked about the health stuff in a while, and that's probably more important than just about anything. So it was good to kind of just run through most of it.
I'm going to say thanks again, and I'm just going to mention one quick thing more before I hang up because I'm off, and that is that at the Monsanto canteen, they don't serve GMOs, apparently. Surprise, surprise, they must know what it's good for.
I've heard at the cafeteria inside the building, yeah.
Right, well, I'm going to say thanks and good night. I'm hanging up, so cheers, mate, everybody, and see you around.
All right, thanks, everybody. You've been listening to The Dose of Reality Radio. Brian Stavely and Justin Cook.
home.